Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This summer has been the best summer since 2009. Campionato di calcio italiano.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It's me, Dov. I'm back after a summer of fun, and to help me look at the forthcoming season, and particularly what's been happening at Inter, I've got Nima from Sempre Inter back again. Nima, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back. It feels the time flies. It feels like it was only yesterday we were doing this preview for the previous season.
Exactly. I see if I was prepared, I would go back and have a listen to that and see what we said then. And see how depressed or optimistic you were. But this season, after the summer, getting the Champions League on that final day, it's kind of made the summer crazy, because this isn't the Inter we know and love that sign random players. They've actually been very astute, I think, in their signings, getting Nainggolan in, Vrsaljko in, De Vrij in, Asamoah in, possibly a midfielder coming in, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You must be over the moon with what's happened.
Yeah, I'm very over the moon. I'm incredibly happy. It's I can't remember exactly. I wasn't listening to that episode either to prepare for this. but I think if I remember correctly, I did say that top four is Inter's goal, and it is. Last season was the most important season for Inter in their modern age, in the sense of having to finish in the top four. Mm-hmm. Because none of this that we've seen this summer would have been possible without having finished in the top four. Maybe Asamoah and De Vrij would have been done, but that's about, you know, Politano, Keita, all these other players that Inter and Modric would have been completely out of the question. Mm-hmm. So it's been a fantastic summer. Inter's, I mean, in only 2 years, you know, people who criticize Suning. I've always been very critical of people who criticize Suning that they haven't done anything, because it's absolute nonsense. It's a Fortune 500 company that have completely, in less than 2 years, turned this club's financial structure completely around. Like, we can't even begin to describe that.
That's one thing I wanted to get into a little bit about you, because obviously a lot of people read about Inter having problems with the UEFA and FFP, but what's going on? What's been the issue that over the last couple of years that Suning have fixed?
Well, basically, the entire system that Italian football clubs have been run on, Berlusconi at Milan, the Moratti at Inter, all these clubs have been that the clubs don't make any money. Whatever the clubs go into the red, the owner covers. Now, UEFA came and said, no, you can't do that. Clubs have to be solvent. They have to make their own money. So when Inter when they introduced this, and Inter, it was pretty evident that Inter were not going to meet the demands of financial fair play. Then they signed this settlement agreement, through the couple of years, where they agreed to following certain rules and certain penalties in order to balance the books. And Suning have, in less than 2 years, not only balanced the books, but they've also managed to turn a profit, which is something that Inter has never done in their history before.
I think I remember about 2 years ago, I got Gazette and I had all the financials of all the teams. That, like, Inter had, like, they're about minus 180 odd million, like much more than any other Serie A team. So to kind of fix that in such a short period of time is amazing.
It's truly amazing, and the way they've done that is they've changed. You know, they've increased the club's revenue. They've brought in so many new sponsors and partners in Asia, especially in China, in the Chinese market. And, you know, not only they've set a financial structure and they've put a budget there that they've been bone-hard in keeping. They've not compromised on that at all, much to the, you know, during the transfer window, much to the annoyance of Inter fans and above all Walter Sabatini, who subsequently left Inter because he wasn't allowed to do what he thought he was given a mandate to do. And what has happened is that, well, when you know, the Chinese companies follow their budget no matter what, which means that if they have given you a budget to spend a certain amount, then if they've given you a budget, it works both ways, meaning that if you've got money, you can spend it. And if you don't have money, you cannot spend it. This summer, Auxilio's been given, you know, he's been given a budget and he's been able to work wonders because he is one of the best sporting directors in Italy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, because of this kind of turnaround in the financial situation in the club, they've managed to bring in, like we mentioned before, brought in Nainggolan from Roma, they've brought in Vasilico, Politano, and paid significant amounts of money. Lautaro Martinez, who we'll talk about later on in the podcast. I mean, of these signings, I mean, who are you kind of most excited about? Who do you think will be the kind of star for Inter? And do you think they maybe need to add something else as well?
I think with the arrival of Keita Balde, I think the most important thing now is to sell players. João Mario and Candreva is a player who I really like. I think he's been so unlucky at Inter because I think the quality's there. I think it's a mental block for him more than anything. It's quite a shame because he was phenomenal at Lazio and even before that at Udinese. But yeah, I think those are the two players that are going to leave. I mean, this is a summer where Auxilio managed to send Davide Santon and a bit of cash to get Raja Nainggolan. I mean, that's the kind of summer that Inter fans have had.
You know, it's usually the other way around.
It's Icardi for a bag of peanuts and a banana. But it's like this time it's literally been the other way around, and it's been phenomenal. And then you've got, you know, Icardi didn't leave the club. There's talk of, you know, now they're talking of extending his contract. There's talk of extending Spalletti's contract. There's stability at the club, and that's something that Suning have brought in, financial and structural stability in 2 years. And that is something that Inter has never had in their history, to be perfectly honest. Not like this. Maybe a couple of years under Facchetti before he tragically passed away, because he laid the foundations for the 2010 triple winning season. But aside from that, it's been very chaotic. And now this club is actually run by professionals, by business people. I mean, as I said, Suning is one of the 500 richest companies in the world. You don't become one of the 500 richest companies in the world by not knowing what the hell you're doing. You know, it's like, and I mean, the sponsorship deals they brought in, none of this is the Qatari Airways inflated, you know, sponsorship deals. But this is actual business deals. These are actual sponsorship deals with Chinese companies and partnerships to raise awareness and which will bring in revenue for both. For everyone involved, and that's brand building, and at the same time, they've and this is not just bringing in sponsorship deals. This is also how they've raised and professionalized Inter's presence on social media, the launch of Inter TV, the way they use social media, the way they use media as a whole to access fans and become more marketable towards fans. It's truly remarkable, and all of this is, you know, Intermedia House, the launch of that. This is truly, truly remarkable. And this is something that Suning have definitely been one of the architects behind.
Mm-hmm. So I've talking a bit about Spalletti there. You kind of mentioned that the club's stable. Obviously, last season at times, like I quite like Spalletti because he doesn't pull any punches. If he's annoyed at a player, he just stays right. Yeah, he was crap. We need to work harder. There's something wrong in their heads. Blah blah blah. He doesn't kind of skirt around the issue, which I quite like. So, I mean, kind of what are your kind of wants? What are you hoping for from him going into his second season at the club?
Well, it's exactly that. Luciano Spalletti, you know, before he came to the club, I think I told you this last year as well, is that I was really sceptical because I found him to be, when things aren't going well, I found him to be quite a cranky, negative person. And that is quite, that could be very toxic at an environment at Inter. However, since he's come to Inter, he's politically, football politically, played his cards completely correctly. He, you know, Inter is a very fragmented club. There are so many fractions within the club pulling in so many different directions. What Spalletti has done is he's united everyone at the club. And the last coach, and to be honest, the only coach to have done that in modern times was Jose Mourinho. Inter is not a club like Juventus or a club like Liverpool where everyone pulls in the same direction no matter what. Inter is a club that is very fragmented and you have a lot of wills and people pulling in different directions. And you have to have someone who is politically astute and knows what he's doing and, you know, doesn't make big blunders that can come back and haunt him. And Spalletti has not done that. He's played so far to this day, knock on wood, he's not made a single mistake from that aspect. But
how do you see him tactically? Because he got some criticism last year tactically for kind of sticking with the same system no matter what.
Well, I don't blame him for that because he literally had 12 players to choose from that were of the same quality. The rest, there was such a huge drop off. So he really didn't have any choice. But I mean, if you look at what he did, like step by step, I mean, if you look at the way players developed, I mean, and the way he played his cards right with Brozovic, who was on his way out, he was literally sitting in a taxi on his way to Malpensa Airport to be flown to Sevilla. Spalletti stopped that and brought him back into the team. And we're talking about one of the best deep-lying midfielders in Europe right now, if not the world. I mean, look at what happened in the World Cup.
I've got to say, he got to the World Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, he was phenomenal. I mean, he ran twice as much as anyone else in the World Cup semi-final. I mean, and not just that, he's been phenomenal, Brozovic. And that is Spalletti. Nobody could bring that out of Brozovic except Spalletti. It's the same thing with the fullbacks. I mean, Santon, before being Santon, looked like an actual good fullback. That's Spalletti. You know, the way he got Caramo to develop, the way he's gotten, you know, he develops players. He gets the best out of all the players and he gets them to raise themselves a level. And that's Spalletti. That's how good he is. So tactically, if he was criticized last season, fair enough. But this season, you know, this summer, he's got the tools to actually do what he wants. And Inter are in the Champions League as well, which is going to put a lot of pressure on the squad.
I want to come to that. We'll come to that later on.
So, no, I think tactically, you know, he's very clear of what he wants to do. He wants to play his 4-2-3-1. But to be honest, he couldn't play the 4-2-3-1 he wanted to do last season because he doesn't have the tools. Now he can. Because now he can choose between playing 3-4-1-2. He can play with a back three if he wants to. And Inter kind of did that last season with D'Ambrosio going in centrally when João Cancelo was gallivanting down the right hand side. Now, you know, he can do kind of similarly to that. He can also play what he really, really liked doing, but was unable to fully implement because of the players didn't suit that system. And it's that midfield three. Now he has Brozovic, Nainggolan, and maybe even Modric, which means that he likes to have the midfield central three move, you know, interchange positions a lot and switch, you know, and switch around a lot and move around to confuse his to break the lines and to confuse the opponent. He did that last season with Gagliardini, Vecino, and Brozovic or Borja Valero. This season, he actually has the players that are really, really adapted well to that system. I think tactically, this is more of a Spalletti team than ever before.
Do you think that they still need to bring in another midfielder? Because obviously they went for Vidal, that didn't work. The Modric thing's interesting because I know for a fact he wants to leave Real Madrid, which you probably know as well. He's told Perez he wants to leave, but the problem is whether or not he'll be allowed to leave. This is the issue. So do you think that Inter, even with the likes of Nainggolan coming in, they still need somebody else?
Absolutely. The reason why, I mean, Vidal is a very interesting situation because Inter sorted out the deal for him. However, it was Spalletti who kind of decided he didn't want him. Because he felt that Nainggolan and him were too similar. And I can understand mm-hmm. that very much. It makes a lot of sense. The only thing that I was a little bit confused about is why even go for him if you know that it can hardly be a surprise of who afterwards.
So they got halfway through the deal and they said, like, wait a minute, they're the same player. Do you know what I mean?
that can hardly have been a surprise. So I find that a little bit strange.
I've got a theory in here, right? Because Vidal likes a drink and Nainggolan likes to smoke too much, right? Well, having him in the same team's like, no, this is going to be a bad.
It's going to be like a six. It's going to be like a high school, like a lads.
A lads dresser every time they go to away trips. Like, come on, lads, we're going to Sassuolo. Let's go.
I mean, the Inter would have turned basically into like. The end of year of, you know, year nine in some, you know, going off to lads' holiday in Mali or Ibiza, you know what I mean? Like, it would pretty much turn into that. but no, I mean, to be serious, I don't think, I think that the only thing I found it strange was just that fact of it. I think there was a, I mean, this is still Inter, you know, weird stuff is still going to happen. And if they can keep it at that level, I've got no problem. Because all of a sudden, Inter were kind of saying, asking Vidal to wait because they wanted to get Modric. Mm-hmm. And those are very comfortable problems to be in. Sure, it wasn't handled in the best way possible, maybe, but it's still miles better than it's ever been. But to answer your question, yes, I think Inter do need another midfielder. And I think Modric is exactly the kind of midfielder that they need. And with Kovacic having gone to Chelsea, which is a player I've always loved and would love to have come back to Italy and play at Inter under Spalletti, especially Spalletti. But that's never going to happen. It seems like he had his heart set on Premier League. I think Modric, I don't see Inter signing another central midfielder, unless
Modric.
If Lotito were to accept the Inter module of loan plus option to buy, which I find completely ridiculous and ludicrous, I can't imagine him doing that ever. And those reports, I just don't believe them because I just can't see that happening. It would be completely inconsistent with everything that Lotito has ever done at Lazio. He wants to get paid today. None of this layaway nonsense. He wants to get paid today.
Well, the deal floating around? No, at least to Milan was 40 million loan, 80 million obligation.
I mean, there is no, it's not even an obligation. It's a right. It's a loan option. And that's just never going to happen. There is no way on earth that Lotito would take that risk of sending out a player for 40 million euros and then not being able to count
on... He'd want the obligation.
Exactly. I mean, there's no way he would do that. And besides, with Milan's situation, they can't, like Inter, afford a forced option to buy. So that I don't believe that story for one second.
I want to move on to a player who you do have because I don't know if you watched Atleti versus Inter the other day. Lautaro Martinez scored a good goal.
What was that? I've never seen a human being bend like that. I mean, what the hell was that? Where did that come from?
Exactly. So after that, people have started to get a bit excited because beforehand you had a few, like, a bit of criticism. Not criticism, but just kind of doubts over, is this another Gabby goal? They've spent all this money. Is he good? Blah, blah, blah. But after that, people are like kind of sat up and took notice a little bit. So obviously, Nima, I don't suppose you watch Argentinian football every week, but
no.
You've probably done your homework on the guy more than most. So who is he? Is he good? Is he the new Gabigol or is he better than that? Because he's number 10.
This is a Dybala kind of player. I remember first finding out about him and then starting, you know, given the fact that he's came up through the ranks of the club where Diego Milito is the sporting director, I knew that Inter were always going to have the first dibs on him. And Zanetti and Diego Milito, they were not involved in the Gabigol deal, so to speak. So they had nothing to do with that. It was basically agent Kia Jurabshian who pulled one over Sunim. I mean, you know, both of those signings, João Mário and this one. So no, we all know what that was about. That was Sunim getting into the getting warmed up
into the murky world of
agents. Yeah, exactly. No, but basically, for me, Lautaro Martinez. I mean, I started watching him, and he is a number 10. I mean, I've always been worried since Totti and Cassano and these players that the fantasista, the classic number 10, is dying. Lautaro Martinez, for me, is the classic number 10. Paulo Dybala is the kind of classic number 10. Mm-hmm. And I've missed, you know, I like these kinds of players.
Well, those are the players that everybody watches, they love to watch. They don't care who they play for.
Yeah,
you watch
exactly.
them because they're fantastic.
Exactly. It's exactly that. And Lautaro, I mean, the first time I watched him, he played a little bit further up the pitch for Racing. But now at Inter with Icardi, this guy can do anything. I mean, he can literally pull the rabbit out of the hat, as you saw against Atletico Madrid. And you can see, you know, he's so fit physically. And he's got a good head on his shoulder as well. He's not happy. He just wants to improve. And he's calm. He's cool. He's collected. He's kind of laid back. He doesn't like the spotlight too much. But he's bloody good. I mean, he's so bloody good. And I also like to see how Spalletti is treating him. I mean, he scored that wonder goal. And Spalletti goes out in the media and says, look, you know, you guys only care about the goals, but I look at everything. He has to improve his passing. Mm-hmm. He can't just, you know, he has to help out in defense. This is a team sport. No one individual makes the team, makes a whole team. And that is brilliant, because he just doesn't want him to float off into the atmosphere for having scored a wonder goal against Atletico Madrid.
And a friend, and I didn't think he's the best thing ever.
Exactly. And also, Spalletti is a, you know, he wants his teams to rigorously fall under the system and respect the system. And given that he has the respect of the entire team, Icardi loves him. Everyone loves him. The important players love him. And Icardi has taken Lautaro under his wing. I think there won't be a problem there at all. I think Lautaro will develop and listen and become a better player under Spalletti. And Spalletti has used this tactic last season when he was very, very, very open about what he expected from Icardi, who absolutely loves him. But he was clear about that, saying that if Icardi plays like this every day, I know he didn't like playing like this today, but if he plays like this every day, he will be the best striker in the world. When he goes out and says Brozovic against Napoli wasn't good enough and he was not happy, what happens? Brozovic goes out and turns into one of the best central midfielders in the world. Like, he seems to have this connection with his players that he can send them the right signal and give them you know, a little bit of stick to get them going. And they want to perform for him. That's the most important thing. They want to win for this manager. And that's something that Mancini failed. Mazzarri just alienated everything and everyone at Inter. Mancini failed to create this feeling. Stramaccioni was a little bit too friendly and almost let the players, because it's a balance as well. You can't let the players dominate and decide everything. Stramaccioni was barely a coach, so you know it was a little bit more like a arts center teacher more than anything, you know. and then all the other coaches, that Pioli did all right, but never really had the respect of the players. So Spalletti is the first coach since Mourinho and Leonardo that the players actually like. They actually like listening to him. They actually like what he's doing. They want to perform for him. They burn for him. I mean, Icardi said it best last year when he said, Spalletti brings out something in me that I didn't even know I had. And that's the kind of coach you want. The Contes of the world. The Sarris, you know, these that, you know, get the best out of their players. Allegri is another example.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That's what I'm mostly excited about, is to see this new Inter under Spalletti and see how he can get the best out of Lautaro Martinez once he's settled in.
Right, so that brings us nicely on to what are we expecting then for the season? Because we did a few predictions at Forza Italian Football, and pretty much everybody had Inter second, and a couple had Inter first for next season.
No.
So, I think first is a bit of a stretch. But what are you expecting? Like, what do you think Spalletti's told the players that he wants? Does he want a Scudetto challenge? Do you want to kind of go deep in the Champions League? Or is it kind of like we'll just try our best and everything and see what happens at the end where we are come February? Or like, what do you think of his goals? Or do you think it's just going to be getting fourth place again and that's it?
No, I think what he's looking for is improvement. That means that top three, what he's looking for is one place better than last year, to improve on the points tally, to improve on the goal score, to concede even less, to go further in the Coppa Italia, to maybe a semi-final, final, and to get past the Champions League group stage. That is the goal.
That is a
reasonable goal as well, because this is a club and team that's never even been close to these things for almost a decade. Inter are playing in the Champions League for the first time in 7 years, and they need to be careful so as not to risk doing what Liverpool and Arsenal and Chelsea have been doing these couple of few years, where they 1 year in the Champions League, the next year they're out, because Inter can't afford that. Inter don't get the TV rights money that the Premier League teams get, so they just simply cannot afford to miss the Champions League. So I think the league will be a priority, and the Champions League will obviously be as well. So I think basically it's trying to go into every game like he did last season when he began the season, basically try to gather and bunker as many points as possible in the early stages, so that when you're playing three times a week in the Champions League and try to, you know, secure qualification as soon as possible, to have that out of the way, so that they can, you know, they can start, you know, managing their resources and manpower further on the season when the players are getting tired.
There you go. Improvement. I think that's a good way for him to kind of look at it, because if you start heaping on, you have to go for the Scudetto, quarterfinals, it affects the players' heads when they maybe start to fall away a little bit, and it could negatively impact how the players.
But I mean, it's like, it depends on who your players are. I mean, if you've got a squad like Juventus, whether who's won the league and the Coppa Italia.
Oh, come on, Juve.
Oh, don't. No, but I mean, that's a team that's won the Scudetto for seven years in a row, and the Coppa Italia and the Supercoppa and all that for the past. They've basically been, you know, they've just been cleaning Italy.
Yeah, exactly. They've cleaned Italy out.
they've cleaned everything in Italy for the past 7 years, and that then you can expect them to repeat what they've already done. You can do that, but to a team that in the past 7 years their highest position is fourth, and they've not even been close to a title, let alone Champions League. I mean, they've not been close to anything like that. It's just simply too much to ask.
Yeah, exactly. It's not logical to go, right, okay, really fourth place, we need Scudetto now, right? Go for it, lads.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And then I know, you know, you know, being a fan and supporters, you know, supporters and fans, it's part of the description of the word that you have to be a little bit, you know, stupid in the sense that you don't care about logic and you just go with your emotions. But I mean, I can't see, you know, because when passion takes over, the brain checks out, and that's fair enough. That's part of being a fan. But when you're a professional, you can't afford to think like that. And I think there's zero chance that Spalletti thinks like that. And that's all I care about.
There you go. Right. Okay. So let's move on quickly before we wrap up. Just the other kind of teams. We won't spend too long on it. So obviously we kind of spoke about Juve and how they've cleaned out Italy. Obviously they signed their big signing this summer. Obviously is Leonardo Bonucci. And then they brought some Portuguese guy in as well.
Some up-and-coming Portuguese lad that scores a lot of goals in lower leagues.
He's supposed to be a hot prospect. He's good at a step over or a chop.
Runs like a greyhound.
So obviously, Juve are favourites for the title. Their aim this season is clearly the Champions League.
Oh, without a doubt.
Do you see anybody coming close to them, or do you think this is a foregone conclusion that Juve pretty much wrapped up the Scudetto?
Juve will win the Scudetto. Juve will win the Coppa Italia, and they'll win the Supercoppa Italia. There's no doubt about that. Not because of the Bonucci and the Ronaldo signing.
Cancelo, right? It's Cancelo.
I was going to say that. I mean, if you look at the signings they've done, that midfield, Bentancur, Pjanic, Matuidi,
Chan,
that's a Champions League winning midfield, that is. So you got Khedira in there as well. You still got Marchisio. You know, that is a Champions League winning midfield. That gives them options to compete on all fronts. And then you have Cancelo and Alexandro, who you need to have good fullbacks on either side. They've got that. Mm-hmm. They've got up front, they've got all the options in the world, with Ronaldo in the number nine role, or Mandzukic, who always delivers. Dybala in the number 10, Fantasista. I mean, they've got
an embarrassment of riches. They've got
They really do. And I don't see anyone. They can rotate as well. They don't have to play their best players because they've literally got 22, 23 players who are of the same quality. Mm-hmm. And that's really impressive. So I don't think anyone comes close to them.
What about the other teams? Milan. I've been quite impressed with their summer dealings, to be honest.
At
the start of the summer, it was going to be an absolute shit show. And they've managed to do something.
I think Leonardo, Milan fans should be so proud of Leonardo that...
But
think about the situation that occurred with that charlatan Yong Hong Lee being finally exposed as for the charlatan he is, that some of us have been saying all along. But some people think that just because I support Inter, I automatically want Milan to do bad, which is absolutely not true. I want the Serie A. It's better for Inter when Milan are good because it raises the quality and the money and the investment and the hype around the entire league, which is good for Inter as well. I was against Yong Hong Lee because he was and is a fraud. It was a dodgy deal from the get go, and it turned out to be right. Now they've got, the way Leonardo, I think the Caldara-Higuain thing is simply phenomenal.
It's not often for you see Juve and you're like, wait, but Juve have been done there. But they've been done there.
They've really been done. I mean, sure, Milan are paying a fortune for Higuain, but the Caldara and Romagnoli, and then you've got...
Conte and Calabria, Rodriguez,
Donnarumma. That might be Italy's starting lineup for defensive lineup. I mean, from goal to the back four for the next decade, and that is brilliant because Romagnoli's been good, Caldara's been really good. If he can develop the same way Romagnoli has,
and move
together,
into the back four as well because he's been in the back three in the last couple of years. So
yeah, exactly. I think that was a brilliant deal. For Milan, I mean, Christmas came twice in July this year. I mean, it was brilliant, and they've needed to have that number nine striker, Kalinic.
I was going to say Kalinic is not quite cutting it. How they managed to even let him go? How they managed to get a team to take him as well? I'll never know.
Not just any team. Atletico Madrid. But then again, I can understand that signing because Kalinic, I think Simeone like can that type of player is a player that he wants, he likes. I mean, he likes having a big, strong number nine like Diego Costa. And obviously, Kalinic is nowhere near as good as him, but I think if there's anything Simeone has proven is that he can get the best out of all players. And I think Kalinic will probably do a really good job there.
Napoli and Roma. Obviously, Napoli changed coach, got rid of Sarri, brought in Ancelotti. I thought that was a step up, if I'm being perfectly honest. So am I.
It doesn't. I agree.
Yeah, but the thing is, it seems like Ancelotti's got a lot of work to do at Napoli. It doesn't seem like they've kind of moved forward in any way. Well, obviously, I've only seen him in pre-season. But it just seems a bit like, kind of like they've went a bit backwards. I don't know, what are your thoughts on Napoli?
Losing Jorginho, who's one of the best central midfielders in the world, if you ask me, and not really replacing him is a step backwards. However, Ancelotti, I trust Ancelotti, Ancelotti, I think, I don't think he would have sanctioned that deal if he wasn't happy. Ancelotti is, you know, he knows he's big and he can take any job in the world. He's won every job. I mean, there is no job in the world that is too big for him because he's been at the biggest clubs and he's won with the biggest clubs. So he's a world class. He's one of the few world super managers, super coaches in the world. And he wouldn't come to Napoli just to settle. He wants to win. And I think he will build on what Sarri did, but they will be far more pragmatic and far more Ancelotti than they've ever been. And I think that playing in the Champions League and the league will not be a problem for them at all. I think he will be able to guide them successfully to a top three finish and take them pretty far in the Champions League. That's the thing. I have no idea how far Napoli can go in the Champions League. They could go and win it if they have a good, like, you know what
if
I mean?
If they get a good draw and have a couple of really good draw, games, then yeah,
exactly. And when they really can, and especially at home. And when they have that tactical coolness of Ancelotti and the passion and you know the positive vibe around that team, they can go as far as possible. You know that's it's a cup game and cup games are decided by details. So I expect Napoli to finish top three. Mm-hmm. I expect them to challenge for the Serie A title next year, mm-hmm. not this year.
Right, and finally Roma. They've brought in a million players. Obviously sold Nainggolan, who they're arguably their best player, certainly best midfielder. But they've got the likes of Cristante, Pastore's come in, Justin Kluivert's there. So they've strengthened in a almost, I want to say, not underhand isn't the right word, but kind of under the radar way, where they've got really good promising players or players that have got something to prove at a higher level as well. So, I mean, I'm more optimistic for Roma than I am Napoli.
I'm really optimistic for Roma because this is more of a Di Francesco team than ever before. Pastore has played, can play to the left. He can play as a number 10. He can play, Javier Pastore is a personal favorite of mine, and I wish he would have come to Inter, but things didn't work out that way. But no, I think Pastore is a phenomenal signing. I think Pellegrini and Cristante in midfield is a very, very interesting midfield. I'm really interested to see what happens there. Justin Kluivert, really exciting prospect. No, I think Roma have done an excellent mercato. I mean, selling a 30-year-old the way they did is not... And also, and a 30-year-old that hasn't really gotten really along with the coach. Mm. He loved the club and this team, but he was not getting along with Di Francesco. They really didn't have a good feeling. I think that was they had to do that. I think this year we've got the top four are clearly ahead of those behind them, and you have a fifth, sixth team in Lazio and Milan, who I think are clearly better than the ones under them. Mm. I think we're going back to the days of when the Serie A was at its best, where you had the top
seven. The Seven Sisters were better than every other team, and
exactly. And then even within those, and then within those Seven Sisters, you have the top four as well, who are ahead above everyone else. So I think we're moving towards that, and the Serie A is exciting again. It's being treated in the proper way now. I think one of the modernizations that they did was simply brilliant.
Oh, honestly, I get it, but honestly, see when you're there, and like obviously I know you went to games with VAR, it is the worst thing because you sit there, you're like, what is going on? You've literally got no idea. I like how they did it at the World Cup, where they put it on the screen like, oh, it's a penalty decision that they're looking at.
I think
at
they're going to do that in the Serie A
to do that this season because you'd literally be sat there in the press box trying to find a TV somewhere to see what they're looking at on the TV because you've literally got no idea what's going on.
Yeah, so, the communication, as always, in Italy is not the best.
It takes time. you're being very kind. It's not the best.
I'm being diplomatic. It's a new thing I'm trying this season. But in all honesty, I think that is the minimum thing. But I think Italy is finally, you know, you've got these new stadiums coming in. You've got, more and more teams are building new stadiums. More and more teams are building, you know, marketing themselves. Inter Milan have finally got, you know, I believe in Milan's ownership structure, but more than I've ever done. I wouldn't surprise me if the Elliott Foundation are a bank. They don't want to run Milan forever.
They want to get in, make some money, and get out.
And they will do that. But I think that Milan are in much more secure hands now than they've ever been, at least since Berlusconi left.
There we go. Right, Nemo, before we let you go then, just tell everybody where they can find you on the social media.
I'm on that Twitter machine.
The Twitter machine.
At Nima TAVROOD is my personal, and SempreInter.com is where we publish everything interrelated. It's been quite a busy summer, our podcast will be back, which we host on your Forza Italian Football channel. We're coming back next week, so. And we're starting a YouTube channel as well. So
there we go. Fantastic! Good to see your lovely face as well this season.
No! I'm close to the 40 than 20.
Are you handing it over to the kids? You're like, yeah.
Oh, I'm handing it over to the cool kids with the t-shirts and the social media machines.
Well, there we go. There you go, everybody. So Nima Tavrud on the Twitter, SempreInter.com for SempreInter.com on the Twitter as well, and then. We'll obviously let you guys know when the podcast is out as well, so look out for that. And then I'll be excited to see what this YouTube thing's all about. I'll be looking forward to that. So there we go, a surprise for me as well. Neil.
It was great being on, talking with you as
always. Yeah, absolute pleasure. And I'm sure we'll catch up during the season as well.
Il capitano!
Lo sai per un gol. Io darei la mia vita, che in fondo lo so, sarà una partita infinita.
È un sogno che ho, è un coro che sale a sognare, si aiuta la notte. 90 minuti per segnare.
Nero azzurri, noi saremo qui, nero azzurri,
pazzi come te,
nero azzurri, non fateci soffrire,
ma va bene, vinceremo insieme.
Continuerò, il sole nel vento, la mia festa, che sempre vivrò,
sempre vivrò,
con questi colori nella testa,
nero azzurri, io vi seguirò nero azzurri, sempre li vivrò nero azzurri,
questa mia speranza è l'essenza, non vivo senza.
Amarà
questa canzone.
Forza, non mollare mai, amala.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.